Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jan Huk from TTF. Welcome to the conference call, where we are going to present and discuss the recent results by ZetIn Group. During the call, you can follow a presentation that we are streaming on the link that you received as part of your connection instructions. The slides are also available for download on the website of ZetIn Group, www.zetin.eu, in the investor section and under the financial reports header. Let me introduce today's speakers who will be giving the presentation and who will be available to answer your questions after the presentation. It's Mr. Juraj Šedivý, the Chief Executive Officer of ZetIn Group, and Mr. Filip Cába, the Chief Financial Officer of ZetIn Group. The main part of today's presentation will be an update on the operating and financial performance, followed by a Q&A session. And now I'm handing over to Juraj Šedivý to commence the presentation.
Thank you, Jan. Good morning. Thank you for having the opportunity to present the 2022 results. Let me start with the group at a glance. We are the leading telecom infrastructure platform provider in Central and Eastern Europe. We operate in the markets with 34 million population, four countries. GDP of those countries is around 630 billion in 2022, and importantly, the compound aggregate growth rate of those markets now and expected up to 2027 is expected to grow by 3.1%. So growing despite the turmoils in the financial markets and the war-affected situation. We enjoyed revenues of 1.1 billion in 2022 and very strong underlying EBITDA margin and EBITDA itself, 0.6 billion in 2022. Those revenues are based on the full stack technology services. We are not the classical telco. We operate a network, including the active elements of the network and the full-blown aggregation backbone network to be able to carry the traffic across the network. So effectively provide the infrastructure as a service defined in a very strictly defined KPIs and service level agreement with our clients. The network has 2,900 physical sites and almost 16,000 active points of presence, meaning the active equipment with antenna, radios, and all auxiliary equipment. In terms of the nature of the technology and the operations, we operate the full-blown mobile networks in all four countries. In addition, in the Czech Republic, we operate VAS. As an incumbent, we operate VAS, fixed access network, which is based on recently modernized VDSL network, where the fiber optics is already brought relatively close to the consumption point, and the newly built fiber-to-the-home lines, 3.9 million lines, are already modernized in the Czech Republic. We enjoy the growing customer base since 2019, and we have now more than 1 million active subscribers on the network. Importantly, it's not only our anchor tenant, O2, which is contributing to that customer base, but a large percentage of those are coming from other ISPs, including T-Mobile and Vodafone. We are own the operating entities by 100%, except in Hungary, where the entity was 25% owned by Antenna. There is some post balance sheet change, which we may comment on later on. Related to the number of sites, I already mentioned that. Passive tenancy ratio, important, but as mentioned, we predominantly sell the infrastructure as a service. So this is just one element of the revenues where we rent the space, but we much much more like the provisioning of the full-blown service where we would include our own active equipment into the service provisioning, which would then not count as the third-party tenant. Fiber to the site, very important parameter, which is indicating the capacity of the network and ability to carry the traffic generated predominantly on the newer version or the newer generation of the mobile equipment, 5G specifically, so highly fiberized in the Czech Republic and growing fiberization of the backhaul in all other remaining three countries. When it comes to the fiber backbone, the position of the incumbent in the Czech Republic, 65,000 kilometers, that's a large multiple of the nearest competitors in the Czech Republic, and very robust transport network in all countries, around 10,000 kilometers in each country. Important capacity represented by the edge data facilities, where we have the space and the points where we can place the equipment of the edge data centers, which is a growing trend, where we have the connectivity, power supply, air conditioning, and the ability to just service those. So we are now teaming up with the large either hyperscalers or the local data centers providers. Underlying EBITDA is coming from 60% from the Czech Republic, remaining 40% spread almost equally across Bulgaria, Hungary, and Serbia. If you can move to the next slide, please. Just briefly, the group track record. The whole story started back in 2015, where PPF made a very bold decision to actually separate the infrastructure, not in a traditional TowerCo ways, where only passive infrastructure would be carved out, but PPF drew the demarcation line at the level of active technology. So that means the physical side plus the radio equipment, antenna, all auxiliary equipment, the data transport features, and the full management capacity and function of the network. It was or had been discussed in the industry for actually more than a decade, but the PPF was the first one to actually execute on it. It turned out to be a very successful move. In 2017, the group received the investment grade ratings and issued a debut dual currency Eurobond. And in 2020, after group acquired the former Telenor assets in Bulgaria, Serbia, and Hungary, and some other countries, but in these three countries, we replicated the structural separation and established a presence in Hungary, Bulgaria, and Serbia. And at the same time, the four entities, including the Czech Republic, were merged into the setting group. So the setting group was formed in the mid-year 2021. Q4, the setting Czech Republic was 100% integrated. We issued term loan, 1.6 billion crown, euro-denominated facility at that time, and received rating of Ba2 by Moody's and BBB by Fitch. And in the Q4 of 2021, the group formed within the context of the PPF and PPF Telco Group its sustainability strategy. It was formalized. And in 2022, continued with the new contracts signed and concluded with the major customers, with the anchor tenants, which are giving us the visibility of the 10 years under defined terms, and it's extendable by two times 10 years beyond that time horizon. So very stable view into the future and ability to actually conceptually design the network and develop the network is a long-term view and long-term committed anchor tenant. In February 2022, PPF sold 30% stake to Singaporean sovereign fund, GIC, and the board of directors changed its form to reflect this new situation. And in terms of the governance, we took a few more steps, including the creation and establishment of the audit committee, related party contracts committee, and also the nomination and the remuneration committee. In April, the group issued the inaugural 500 million Eurobond, with 5-year Eurobonds, which were used in full to refinance part of the existing bank loans. There was or had been at that time the long-term EC inquiry, the statement of objection issued back in, I believe, 2017 related to the network sharing in the Czech Republic. This inquiry, and that's quite important conclusion, was closed by EC without any penalty imposed on setting, so there was no bail, no reason for the penalty to be imposed on us. And importantly, in September, within the frame of the PPF Telco Group, Cetin contributed its own formalized sustainability framework and the action plan for future years. Next slide, please. So related to the ownership and organizational structure, Cetin is owned 70% by PPF Telecom Group and 30% by GIC, as mentioned. Enjoys the investment grade rating, Ba2 and BBB, respectively. It has the 955 million bank facilities and up to 200 million revolving credit facility, which is undrawn. At this point in time, plus the mentioned Eurobond maturing in 2027. And four entities underneath, Cetin in the Czech Republic with its own financial financing vehicle, Cetin Finance BV, carrying 202 million Czech crown denominated bonds, Cetin Serbia, 75% of TNT Hungary, which is then owning the Cetin Hungary, and 100% of that in Bulgaria. As mentioned, the governance was reinforced, and we believe it's up to the leading edge standards chaired by Jan Karanik, myself being the executive director and a member of the board, the two further members nominated by PPF, Jan Cornelis Janssen and Marcel van Santen, and then two members nominated by GIC, Mr. Kamil Burganov and Riz Philip, plus an independent member of the board, a seasoned industry professional and veteran, actually, Jaime Smith Bastera, who used to be the top executive of Telefonica O2 in Europe, China, and Latin America. And the audit committee specifically, which is chaired by the independent member of the board, Jaime Smith, and where the members are Riz Philip of GIC and Itka Mashatova, who is the chief of the internal audit of PPF. In addition to that, there is a nomination and remuneration committee, as already mentioned, and related party and material contracts committee established. Sorry, there's one more member of the board, which is a non-voting member, and that's an independent observer, Mr. Alexander Reich, again, seasoned industry professional. When it comes to the summary of the results in 2022, compelling financial performance, we grew 10.8% on the revenue side, that is excluding transit, which will be further explained, and that's a low margin part of the revenues, but the revenues we are commenting on here are substantially the infrastructure-based revenues. That drove the EBITDA growth by 5.2%, that's again excluding the transit. And the strong free cash flows allowed us to invest into the network modernization, both on the mobile side, predominantly the swap of the equipment to the new generation equipment, including establishment of the 5G capacities in three countries, Czech Republic, Bulgaria, and Hungary, while in Serbia we are waiting for the outcomes of the auction, which we assume will come at the beginning of next year. Inaugural issuance, I already mentioned, of the bonds. There was very strong investor interest. It was a first private issuer from Central and Eastern Europe after reopening the market in relatively turbulent times. So the terms and conditions, including the coupon rate, is very advantageous, and we consider it to be a major successful assurance. We focused on the rollout of the 5G mobile network, as mentioned. You see the difference in points of presence where the 5G equipment is installed. That is obviously only part of the story. We are also increasing capacities on the backhaul side, increasing the capacities related to the network functionality, so to be able to provide not only additional capacity, connectivity capacity in terms of the bandwidth, but also the new range of services. So all other functions of the network, including the network management functions, are being modernized, and that, as mentioned, will be valid also for Serbia later this year, and starting beginning of next year, we'll go into the full rollout. We pursue a very focused FTTH rollout strategy, as mentioned, 3.9 million already passed by FTTC network. Fiber to the cabinet network is now being expanded by the full-blown fiber to the home rollout. We added more than 100,000 new homes passed in the Czech Republic in the areas where we perceived the greatest need for the bandwidth, and where we needed to also react to the competitive threats. This has the competitive advantage of this is a future-proof technology where upgrades and the future, the next generation service features can be introduced much easier compared to the previous generations of the network. And the increase in terms of the home pass was more than 75%. We're also adding new product features related to mainly B2B customers and the newly emerging trend of machine-to-machine communication, and that brings the services from the what we would call the basic underlying connectivity layer to the managed services, then complying with strict SLAs related to specific sectoral or industrial applications, and that goes into the area of virtual private networks, software-defined wide area networks, using all the tools we have up to our sleeves to be able to deploy such a connectivity solutions, including the densification, micro-densifications on the 5G, the private 5G networks, which are more and more emerging trend in the industrial applications, and then all kinds of distributed antenna system solutions for the indoor coverage. A lot of space and a lot of opportunities for future, so we are effectively laying the base for those services by developing new products and equipping the network with required features and capacities. Related to the main operational progress, as already mentioned, FTTH, you see the number of the homes passed overall and the percentage of the FTTH, the fiber to the homes, in terms of the homes passed, but also in terms of the speeds on the network. So we ended the year with a substantial increase in the fourth quarter with 237,000 homes passed on the FTTH in the overall number of customers of more than 1 million homes connected. Again, I would like to re-emphasize very diversified range of customers. We have more than 25 ISPs utilizing that network with three major players, O2, T-Mobile, and Vodafone. When it comes to the fixed broadband in terms of the speeds, you see the 2019 snapshot of the speeds where majority of the speeds were in the range up to 5 megabits per second, more than 60% at that point in time. And now, after the modernization and the introduction of the FTTH, we have more than 75% of the network at the speed of more than 100 megabits per second, which at this point in time is very, very competitive level of the speed, differentiating us from either the Wi-Fi networks or inferior cable networks, and the number of lines which will be gradually converted up to gigabit speeds will be growing. It's like 6% at this point in time, but with the further FTTH rollout, the number will grow. As mentioned, only less than 25% of homes passed are at the speeds below 50 megabits per second. Related to our role as a responsible corporate citizen, we take this sustainability as very important integral function to our visions and values. It did not come only over last month or years. This has been embedded in the DNA of the group already before that. But over the last few years, we started to formalize and structure those and created a sustainability framework in four main areas, three main areas, and that was the environmental area, the area of governance, and the social area, with environmental aspects aiming at reducing the emissions, at energy efficiencies, the utilization of renewable energy sources, and recycling and reusing, which is an important element mainly related to the equipment dispositions and the commissioning, the governance, as already mentioned, the sustainability governance and awareness by all of the employees and the communities we operate in, including the integrity of the supply chain, very important element in our case, as we are sourcing the full network by the variety of suppliers. And then the social, where we play the role as the provider of the connectivity for the digitalized and more digitalized functions of the government and the citizens and the private users, where specifically during the COVID time, it was clear that a broad network coverage, reliability of the network and security network was actually enabling factor for the economies to continue functioning during the times of physically closed closed operations and the citizens being trapped at their homes. And that continues. The importance of the underlying connectivity for the lifeline functions of the government and the societies in general are clear. So we take that very responsibly and build a network with that underlying notion. And then the safeguarding of health and well-being of our employees, but also against societies we operate in. Employee satisfaction is regularly measured. The dialogue between the top management, the management and the employees is a regular feature of our activities. Inclusivity, including what I would mention, the cultural inclusivity of the four Central European countries, although geographically fairly close, but each with different culture, language. And now we really operate as the group, effectively eliminating the boundaries. The teams are working cross-border without even noticing who is from which country. And obviously, the safety is an important element of our operations. So this framework translated into actionable, detailed plan and the program in the environmental area, greenhouse gas emissions measures for all three scopes. Now formalized and broken down into individual elements and followed in individual functions of the company. We publicly committed to the science-based targets via PPF Telecom Group, the formal report issued in September last year, as I already mentioned. For example, in Serbia, we are already 68% green when it comes to the energy consumption. We are running two pilot projects of the small solar power plants here in the Czech Republic in the Czech Republic on specific sites. In Bulgaria, we signed recently the new power purchase agreement, and from January 2024, 80% of Bulgaria's consumption would be covered from the green source, mainly based on the photovoltaic power plants. We took specific steps and the measures related to the robust corporate governance and business ethics. I already mentioned the committees. There are also very specific action plans managed by Sustainability Program Board. And this agenda is absolutely regularly included on the Group Advisory Board, which is the top management body of the group, which consists of the four CEOs and all functional CXOs, technology, commercial, finance, legal, and human resource. So awareness straight from the top level of the company, and then it's then disseminated throughout the individual management lines of the company to all employees. And when it comes to the social, accelerating technology for a sustainable future, as mentioned, we understand the function of our sector and our network in the broader terms. And the 5G rollout is definitely the right move to be able to provide a connectivity for the new generation applications for citizens and the businesses. FTTH rollout in the Czech Republic, including the white spots, the deprived areas where we, in the frame of the subsidies established by the Czech government, are actually applying for the large percentage of the white spots to be covered by FTTH, allowing those areas to grow economically in future, and the citizens to enjoy the new generation digital services. And then the safety of the network, DDoS attacks being mentioned as an example, but it's a very, very broad program aiming at securing the network related to its physical safety, but also cybersecurity, surveillance, and the supervision of the network compliant with the applicable legal regulation, including the NIS2 standard, which is being introduced in EU countries now. And then, as mentioned, the safeguarding health and well-being, that the program is formal, branded as a set in well-being and encompassing several functions, including the healthcare, preventive healthcare, physical activities, mental health of the of the employees, and then obviously the aim at the zero level of fatalities and injuries. So with that, I would conclude my section of the presentation and hand over to Philip to cover the.
Thank you, Juraj. Good morning, everybody. So in terms of the financial performance, I may say that year 2022 was a good year. We grew our domestic revenues, which are revenues excluding the transit, by 10.8%. The reason why we exclude the transit is that this is completely independent business from our infrastructure activities, and it's low marginal, and we believe we give better and clearer picture on our financials when we report our financials without the transit. So the growth of our revenues was driven mainly by mobile through our mobile service agreements, which are long-term contracts with our anchor customers, and also long-term financial commitments by our anchor customers. We also managed to grow our fixed broadband revenues through the number of newly added customers, and also through growth of average revenue per customer. The growth of revenue was the main driver of the growth of our EBITDA, that grew, again, without the transit, by 5.2%, and our EBITDA margin reached 61.4%. As we already said, we continued in a modernization of our networks, including 5G deployment, which was the main driver of the growth of our CapEx, that grew by 23.4% year over year, and the trend of CapEx was also main driver of the evolution of the cash flow, that dropped to 178 million in the end of 2022. Very important thing I would like to highlight here is that we managed to deliver all key financial parameters that shareholders and also top management of CETIN expected us from us in a budget of 2022. With that, we can move to the next page, where I would like to talk about the operational expenditure. Our OPEX grew year over year by more than 20%, but I believe the growth was reasonable given all the external factors and also macroeconomic situations. So we recognize four key OPEX categories, rentals, personal, utilities, and network and IT maintenance. In rentals, we grew due to two reasons. Every year we add a number of new so-called infill sites, which are sites that densify our networks and increase the quality of our networks. In 2022, we added nearly 300 of these sites. The second reason why the rental costs grow is that in part of our rental contracts, we have inflation indexation clauses that obviously drive the cost up. Personnel, we reacted to the inflation increase already in the beginning of 2022 by increasing salaries of our employees. We focused mainly on technicians area so that we stabilized our field force and we could fully focus on the highest quality of delivery of services.
The cost of utilities grew significantly, which was driven by the increase of price of energies. But this growth was predictable or predicted and fully expected, as we hedged the prices of 95% of our consumption already in 2021. I think that's all I wanted to say to our OPEX. If we can move to the next page, where I will talk about our capital expenditures. As it was said, we grew our CAPEX mainly thanks to the network modernization continuation and thanks to the increasing of our 5G footprint in Bulgaria, Hungary, and the Czech Republic. As it was said also, we still await the 5G frequency auction in Serbia, so apart from the pilot, we haven't started rollout here yet. We also will continue with this modernization and 5G deployment in 2023. We also continued in the fiber rollout. We managed to pass more than 100,000 new households in 2022, and we also will continue with this program in 2023. In other CAPEX, which is the CAPEX that is spent mainly in the Czech Republic, and major one of the major items is CAPEX needed for connectivity of B2B customers, but it also includes some smaller items such as security and real estate. Just to preempt your possible question, the CAPEX in 2023 will not differ much from the CAPEX of 2022. If we can move to the next page, where I will talk about our financial policy. The key and strategic thing for Cetin Group is to keep a solid investment grade rating, which corresponds also to our financial policy, which states the priorities how we allocate our free funds. Priority number one is to be able to finance our key CAPEX projects so that we will secure our future revenues and cash flows. The priority number two is to maintain leverage below 3x. I mean the leverage on pre-IFRS 16 net debt to EBITDA after leases basis. There's a short-term possibility to increase the leverage to 3.5x in a case of an add-on acquisition. And the priority number three is to distribute up to 100% of levered free cash flow subject to keeping the net leverage below 3x. Last part from me today is about current debt maturity profiles. So as it was said already by Juraj, so we have one euro bond issued in the Czech entity, the Czech crowns of our approximate value of 200 million euros that is due in December this year. Then we have the two term loans of the total value of 955 million euros due in 2026 and the bond we issued in 2022 of 500 million and which is due in 2027. And on top of that, we have the undrawn revolving credit facility available for any unexpected cash outflow. So that's all from my part today. Thank you for your attention and I'll hand over the presentation back to Jan Huk.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the company presentation, and we are now ready to take your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you choose to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. And our first question today goes to Jeffrey Chu of Morgan Stanley. Jeffrey, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. So I have two. First one is, can you provide a guidance on energy costs and personal costs this year? Especially on energy costs, it seems like the energy market has stabilized quite a lot headed into 2023. Could we even see a tailwind from that front? And secondly, I'm sure you're aware that the United Group is putting their tower assets up for sale. I don't know if that's an asset you'd be interested in, given you do have footprint in Bulgaria. Thank you.
Okay. With regards to energy costs, we closely monitor the market on daily basis, and we run our energies on the spot, and we are ready to hedge our energy once the market and market conditions are favorable. So in the recent history, typically the spot prices were lower than the prices of the future, so it didn't make sense to hedge. But we are, as I said, closely monitoring the market. And in terms of the comparison, the year-over-year comparison of the prices, we shouldn't be much higher than the prices and the cost of energies in total as we had in previous year.
Related to the personnel costs, we are looking at three things: the inflationary development in individual countries, then the benchmarking of the job families of our individual employees compared to the market, and then how competitive the situation in the labor market is, and what is the threat on our side to lose the key employees or the key teams, and reflect that into annual increase of the personnel costs. So you may broadly draw upon these three factors in each individual country. So we try to protect, obviously, the employee base and reflect that into planned increases of the salaries. When it comes to the UG transaction, tower transaction, we do not comment on the transaction.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. And our next question goes to Henry Nadong of Rothschild & Co. Henry, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for the presentation. Maybe just on the rating at Moody's, I think your outlook is currently negative and you have been put on outlook negative since last year. I just wanted to have your view on how our discussions are ongoing with them and if you can maybe just expect any stabilization of the outlook on that from this year. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for the question. So rating of Setting Group is highly dependent on the rating of the PPS Telecom Group, and then this year we don't expect any change in our rating in this year. Okay,
great. Thanks.
Thank you, and as another reminder, if you would like to ask a question today, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypads. We'll pause for just a moment. It appears we have no further questions. I'll hand back to you, Jan, for any closing comments.
This is Jan Hook again. Thank you all for attending today's call. If you still have any follow-up questions, you are welcome to contact our investor relations and we will be happy to oblige. And now, on behalf of the company, I would like to terminate today's call. Thank you. Goodbye.